Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
FOMO. Even today, by current means, we can add another 10 or 20 healthy and happy years to our life. So we all need to be prepared, not only from health perspective, but also in terms of the wealth, in terms of our psychological perspective, how we perceive life, to live to at least 100 years. So that's now. This is happening today.
That's Sergey Young, longevity venture capitalist and author of The Science and Technology of Growing Young. I'm your host, Patrick McGinnis, and this is FOMO Sapiens. With the world spinning out of control, it can be impossible to know what to do and what to miss out on. That's called FOMO, which is short for fear of missing out. How do I know? Because I coined the term, and I'm the world's first FOMOlogist. And this is the show where I ask entrepreneurial thinkers, people I call FOMO Sapiens, how they live and work with conviction no matter what life throws at them.
FOMO.
Hey there, FOMO Sapiens. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is a very FOMO Sapiens topic, because we hit on some technology, some VC, some philosophy, some kind of FOMO elements, and it's all about life extension. Would you want to live forever? Like the song, you know, there's a song by Queen, Who Wants to Live Forever? And if I could afford the music rights, I'd play it for you right now, but I don't think I'm going to do that. Too complicated. But I will tell you, I looked up on the internet and I found a survey of 2,000 Americans by the wellness website Lifetime Daily that says that 57% of people say they would not want another 100 years. So in fact, people don't want to live forever. But I think the question is really, if you could live healthily and happily to 150 or 200, would you do it? Well, my guest today, his stated goal is to live to 200 years old. And in his new book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young, he explains how that could happen, what it would look like, what is the science and the technology required to do that? And, you know, is this even a good idea? He also talks about just like how not to die young, which is, I think, kind of good for all of us to think about. So we're going to get into that with Sergey Young, and he's a fascinating guy. I actually met Sergey through my friend Dmitry and his wife Julia, who are friends from business school, and they're Russian, as is Sergey. And I started talking to him and reading about him, and he interviewed me for his book, so I'm in there, and I realized he's a really fascinating guy. He runs a $100 million longevity vision fund, which is one of the few funds that specializes in longevity and helping to accelerate longevity breakthroughs. He is also the development sponsor of the Age Reversal X Prize, which is all about curing aging and age-related diseases. So that is, he's doing some pretty interesting stuff there. Now, I'm going to ask you for two small asks today, one for me, one for Sergey. The small ask for me is to please rate and review the podcast. I've had a couple of you who wrote to me and had told me that you had reviewed or rated the podcast, and then you read some of the comments. And so I was just thankful that you did that. Thank you for doing that. And please, I can promise it won't extend your life necessarily, but it will make me happy and thus potentially extend my life. Second, please go and consider pre-ordering the book at Sergey's website. That's Sergey Young, SergeyYoung.com. All right, let's move on to the interview. So when I first met Sergey, we had a really nice chat. He was in Moscow, I was in New York. This is like deep pandemic. We did it on Zoom, obviously. But he's just such a positive guy. He just exudes sort of goodness. And so we really hit it off. And then we finally got together a little while ago in New York. And he was staying at this beautiful hotel that we had lunch at. And we just had this really good conversation. And in it, he revealed to me, actually, that he had changed his name. His original last name is not Young, but it's sort of like a name he has developed, which goes really well, obviously, with what he does for a living. But that is a little unusual. So to start our interview, I asked Sergey to please explain why he changed his name.
Look, it's been the biggest psychological experiment in my life. Just a few years ago, I decided to create this persona, Sergey Young. My name is Sergey, but I have a Russian family name. And it was so difficult to do business and promote longevity and digital healthcare, specifically in the US, because once you start this whole Russian thing, the conversation always goes into political direction. And this is what I wanted to avoid. I wanted people to concentrate on like a good things, like making the world a better place, bringing affordable and accessible version of healthcare to all the countries that we can have an impact on. And so I decided, I think I was on Tony Robbins' seminar, and Tony, with his voice, was saying, "I've created this Tony Robbins guy." Oh, so I Googled him. So apparently his family name was different. And I thought, okay, if Tony can do that, I can do this as well. And I can tell you, Patrick, it was the biggest transformation in my life. So first 15, 20 minutes of every conversation, it is about longevity. It is about future. It is about things that we can do in healthcare or with the world overall, rather than discussing, you know, all this political disconnect that Russia or some other countries have in the world. So it's an experiment. It's actually a trademark that I'm using for all my longevity projects.
That's awesome. I mean, it's one of these things that if you are not getting the results you need in the conversation, why not? I mean, like, actors change their names all the time. You hear all the, like, you know, Natalie Portman's name was like Natalie Hirschlag, I think, or something like that. Didn't really roll off the tongue. So now she changed it. So Sergey, you know, we're going to talk a lot about extending human life today. This is what your new book is about. This is what your work is about, which is, I'm going to be honest with you, like having, I don't know. I mean, I try to be healthy. I never think about extending human life. You do all the time. So why have you devoted your career to this objective?
Okay. Few things. One, unfortunate reality about us humans is that we start to develop interest to our own health and the quality of our life and our years only after we got a wake-up call. Mm. And for some people, it's been COVID, and obviously it was a huge wake-up call for our healthcare system and for all of us. For some of the people, and I do think it's 70 to 80% of people around me, it's significant deterioration of your own health or the health of the people you love. So that was the case with me. My father got lung cancer back in 2005. He survived, but it took us a lot of money and a lot of emotions and effort and a lot of things in the family to fix, to go through this. And he's still having the problem with the quality of his life. So it was like the biggest wake-up call for me. And the second one was very typical for average American or any person from developed country. I had a high cholesterol level, and I had two options. One was to take statins for the rest of my life. And at this point of time, I thought it was just another 40 years that I need to take medication every day. And the second option was to make a change. And I thought if I can make a change, you know, on my own for my own health, I can actually share it with the world. And it was so successful. In the course of 6 months, I basically became like a completely different man in terms of my physical and mental health. And I thought, if this is so easy, you know, I can obviously influence other people to change their life. And then whether we're working on longevity or fighting age-related diseases or extending human life, I think we're all talking about adding more high-quality years to our lives when we are at the state when we are healthy and happy and we can realize our dreams.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, or delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you improve efficiency by bringing all major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. And with rising prices everywhere you look, you gotta do the math and save money. Good news, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head over to netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO. netsuite.com/FOMO.
Yeah, so for everybody listening, this is sort of your wake-up call. I mean, I think we've all had those moments, and we've talked about this on the show a bunch, like those life moments where it's just like, whoa. You get sick or something bad happens and the universe gives you an opportunity to pay attention, and you may choose to do that or not, but your point is well taken. Now, all that said, you do have, I mean, the book, it has sort of this, like, these kind of headlines out there, and you talk about this idea of the longevity revolution and the idea of the near horizon of longevity, which is to live to 150, and then the sort of the far horizon, which is to live to 200 years old, which we'll get into later, like whether I want to do that or you want to do that. But just from a tech perspective, like, and from a doability perspective, you know, if people are talking about being able to do this in the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, extend human life. Is that, like, why is that? Just help me to believe that that's possible. And what is the tech that we need to get there?
Yeah. So basically what has happened, we doubled our lives, average lifespan on Earth in the last 100 years. And actually, we never had a proper consultation whether we should do it or not. This has just happened. So, and right now, if you look at developed world, we an average lifespan is somewhere around 80 years. So this is how far we went in terms of doubling that in the last century or so. Well, the funny thing is that the maximum lifespan on Earth was always the same. There's always 120 years, actually 122 to be precise. This is the longest lifespan we had on record on Earth, thanks to this beautiful French woman who died, I think, back in 1999 at the age of 122. So what we've done so far, we were just increasing the average by avoiding early death. That's exactly the modus operandi, exactly the model how we influence that. And, well, that's why. And we will continue to fight age-related diseases like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, neurodegenerative diseases. These are like 80% of death happening after the age of 50. And the average lifespan and health span on Earth will continue to increase. So even today, by current means, we can add another 10 or 20 healthy and happy years to our lives. So we all need to be prepared, not only from health perspective, but also in terms of the wealth, in terms of our psychological perspective, how we perceive life, to live to at least 100 years. So that's now. This is happening today.
In other words, so like as long as we don't die, as long as we have good medical care, we're like, we take care of ourselves, like we already know people can live to 120. So it's like, if we just keep people from dying from all the stuff they die from, we're extending human life. And then to take it from 120 to 150, what's the secret there?
Human body and mind and our health is such a complex thing that it's extremely unlikely it's just going to be one solution. It's going to be more than one. So then near horizon of longevity innovation, these are technologies and breakthroughs in science which are going to be available to us in the next 5, 10, 15 years. And this is where we invest through Longevity Vision Fund. This is where a lot of people in the sector, in the industry, trying to make breakthroughs, either from technological or scientific point of view. When people ask me, what is the most promising technologies, right, or fields of medicine, which are going to be disrupted and will give us an opportunity to break this barrier. I'm actually, there's a lot of things happening, but I'm super optimistic about three things. Number one, it's about gene editing and gene therapy. 20 years ago, we were struggling to sequence human genome. It was $3 billion exercise. Right now, you can do a significant part of it, like the most relevant part of it, in just for a couple of $100. And last year, so many countries and scientists on Earth has been able to sequence genome of COVID-19 virus. And it was just a matter of hours and days. And that's why, like, I've just read an article, Moderna vaccine has been developed in the course of 2 days. So that's like a pace of innovation. And again, 20 years ago, there was dangerous experiments in terms of gene editing using CRISPR technologies. It's the first and one of the oldest one, like scissors which modify our DNA. And it was available for a handful of people, literally, who were really in the verge of dying. So they had nothing to lose on this earth. Right now, if you look at COVID vaccines, majority of them are gene therapies, right? Mm-hmm. Like including Moderna one, mm-hmm. which we just used as an example. So we are now can enjoy the field of gene therapy and gene editing. And obviously this will help us to modify and recreate what it means to be human, because we already know 3,000 genes which are responsible for our longevity, for our healthy aging, or even give us an opportunity to reverse aging processes in our body. So that's number one. Number two is about organ regeneration. Think about old car metaphor. We can extend resource of the old car almost endlessly if we will be able to change certain spare parts or even replace the engine. So this will happen with human body. And actually with human minds, but it's a separate far horizon of longevity question. And as Aubrey de Grey, one of the founders of the current science about gerontology and fighting age-related diseases, Aubrey always say that we would need to solve this problem, we would need to change the view on the human body from biological perspective to more engineering perspective. So our ability to replace organs is very close. In fact, I'm always bringing an example from our portfolio. It's a company called LightGenesis. They based in Pittsburgh, and they've developed science and technology for us to be able to regrow new organs inside our own body. It's actually in our lymph nodes.
So you don't have to do a transplant. It's just you simply regrow it.
Yeah. So transplant is like super expensive. It's 600,000 to 800,000 for liver. I'm talking about liver transplant. Sure. A lot of people die waiting for liver or heart donor to be available for them. And it's just, and in probably the majority of cases, you have certain autoimmune rejection reaction. Your body thinks it's a foreign organ. It is foreign organ. So the success rate is not super high. So what they do in LightGenesis, they split donor liver in 50 to 70 pieces. They use very simple laparoscopic surgery to put it inside your lymph node. And then your body, in the course of 3 to 6 months, regrowing like a liver B in your body, which is able to support your dysfunctioning liver. And that's amazing. And when we invested, I think it was 2 years ago, I thought it's a sci-fi. They just got FDA approval to start human trials, and they successfully recruiting patients for these human trials, and they start fourth quarter this year. So this is not sci-fi. And it's going to be more and more opportunities and a lot of amazing entrepreneurs trying to disrupt this whole place and space of organ regeneration and organ replacement. And third one, I do think that in 5 to 10 years from now, we will have longevity in appeal. We will have new category of drugs, which will help us to fight aging and aging process inside our body rather than targeting any particular disease. Because this, your risk to get diabetes, heart disease, cancer, neurodegenerative diseases increase exponentially after you turn 40 or 50, depending when, where and when your aging process starts. And this is happening. We do have a few candidates today. It's like metformin, the old diabetes drug, or rapamycin. They still hasn't been approved as longevity drugs. So they target particular disease. So don't go to pharmacy and try to buy them now. consult with your doctor, or wait just 5 to 7 years until they will go through human trials for a particular indication of fighting age-related diseases and decreasing mortality from them. And then we will be able to enjoy longevity and appeal. And also bringing artificial intelligence to disrupt and compress this whole drug development cycle, which is like in US, for the average drug, it takes 12 years to develop it. And it takes $2.6 billion to develop it simply because of the higher failure rate. I think just bringing artificial intelligence in this whole process would give us an opportunity not only recycle what we have today, the things like metformin, who's been on Earth for the last 50 or 60 years, or rapamycin, but also create like a new drug which will target aging. So this are like three things from near horizon of longevity, which give me a lot of optimism about our ability to break the sound barrier of 122 years and live healthy and happy 150 years.
Tell me something. So I'll buy into this gene editing. You have longevity in a pill. You have organ regeneration. Okay, sounds good. So are there people like I always heard these rumors that like celebrities or like the Elon Musk-y type people, like these people who have a lot of money, power, whatever connections, they have stuff that they're doing, whether it's like human growth hormone or whatever that is. Are the wealthiest, most powerful people on the earth already using these kinds of things? Or is this something that we're all going to kind of come to together?
Look, I think it's just our default mode, like how we perceive people who have more resources. And interestingly enough, my focus and focus of Longevity Vision Fund and focus of the book is to bring affordable and accessible version of longevity to the world. So that's very relevant question. I do know a lot of people who experiment with their health, trying to use different interventions which are in very early stage of development or very early stage of approval. And I do think they're more in a biohacking world rather than someone like really rich and who can afford to spend millions of dollars on their life extension. Because what is happening? If you are happy to experiment, you're not taking all the upside. You're also taking all of the risks. And I've seen so many cases when something is like really promising, but then in a few years' time, apparently it has like, it increased your cancer risks. So like a side effect. So when people do that, I don't think I've seen this only in kind of rich category. So that's one. And two, I don't really advise people to experiment with their health. I would rather like, you know, exercise, eat healthy, do my annual checkups in the next 5 to 10 years, and then enjoy the benefit of the intervention or technology, which is completely approved and without unnecessarily and very risky side effects, rather than just rush into something. Like it was the case with stem cells. Stem cells can be like super important to treat particular diseases or particular difficult health conditions. But obviously it hasn't been developed and approved for the mass use for the good reason. So I know a lot of people who just like, you know, cross the border and go to Mexico or some of the islands to do stem cells injection. I've never done this. I mean, you can imagine, I've been offered to do this so many times, but
we'll do it together. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah. I just thought that there's so many things that we can do with our health today without taking unnecessary risk. And it's actually advice of some of the chapters of my book, which is, it's super promising. Wait a little bit. We're talking about a very precious thing, which is our health and our life. Don't experiment.
Tudo bem, meus queridos Homo sapiens? Now, that right there was Portuguese. And as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel. the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak four languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, and we'll get into, you know, you mentioned like there it's not complicated. There's some really basic stuff you can do to not die, and we'll get into that in a bit. But I do want to talk about, so I got to imagine when I was reading the book, which I really enjoy, and like I don't say that all the time. This has just like a lot of very practical stuff in it. But it's also kind of, it's what my friend Anastasia Seebohm says is future gazing. That's her FOMO. She invented that concept, which is the idea of looking into the future. Now, so I'm thinking like, great. So I'm going to live to 150 just in time for the environment to go to, you know, blow up and like the seas overtake the earth and there's like a shortage of water and then we all die. Greta Thunberg is screaming in my ear as we're all 150 and dying. And so like, it's an interesting question. Just like, I have zero FOMO about living in a world where the environment is like consuming the earth and we're all dying like horrible, tragic deaths. So like, how do you square that with this longevity? I mean, is the solution just that like, well, in the same way that technology is going to fix human longevity, it's also going to fix the earth? Or how do you kind of think that through?
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest problem. And I know a lot of people who actually don't like the idea of extending our health span and lifespan. Depending on the country, it's 60 to 75% of people actually would hate the idea of life extension, and for the good reason. And as I always say, we have created the science and technology of extending our life, but we haven't created life that we want to extend. Mm. So, and I just done a TEDx talk called Morality of Immortality. And my point is we need to solve enormous amount of ethical problems about the future and about the version of the world that we created before we can embrace the science and technology of living radically longer. And that's a big problem. Like Sergey Young or, you know, anyone else couldn't really solve it on his or her own. So that's actually the opportunity for us to start a conversation like what will happen in the future when we all will live radically longer. What I do know, it's going to be a completely different relationship with Mother Nature and with the environment. We would need to take back responsibility and live with the consequences of our own actions in environmental field. We would need to rethink our life because right now our life stages are pretty much set up. But if we're going to be living longer, like what will happen with our marriage? Or what will happen with our career? What will happen with our life? What's the definition of life? Can it be several beautiful mini lives? How are we going to go about multi-generational pool or, as investor, I said, like portfolio of kids? How are we going to sort it out? And it's there's so many things that we need to sort. And I'm specifically concerned about environment. I'm less concerned about resources or the food. 40 or 45% of the food today in the U.S. goes to waste from supermarkets or from the restaurant. So I do think that we have abundance of food, energy, and resources now. We just need to be mindful of what is happening in the waste and how we optimize the use of these resources. But I'm more concerned about morality of this whole thing. And like my the most interesting problem for me is like us living longer in the future, whether we're going to be immortal or living radically longer, it's going to be making decision every 5 to 10 years to extend our lifespan. And if you say no, today in the current society, it's considered as plain God or suicide, and it's actually blame as suicide. Or even with that, even if this is going to be acceptable in society, like, will I have the bravery to make this decision? I don't know. So my takeaways is in 20 years from now, the biggest obstacles for us living longer is not going to be science, not going to be technology. It's going to be ethics of today's world.
I just think about, you know, what you just said there. I just want to repeat it because I thought it was really important, which is that it's not about, you know, do we want to extend life? It's about how do we create a life that we want to extend? And I think about one of my favorite books when I was a kid, which I don't know if you've read, Sergey, but it's called Tuck Everlasting. Do you know this book, Tuck Everlasting?
Yes.
Oh, man, it's a movie, yes, too. If you want to cry, turn that one on. I watched it on a plane and people were turning around because I don't know. I cry on planes. I think we all do. But anyway, it's a kid's book and it's about these people who live forever. And, you know, it's not that great because they're like, oh, this is a little boring. Everybody we know dies and we're the only ones living. So it's just an interesting question about how do you create a society that, yeah, because like, okay, if you're living in abject poverty somewhere, I mean, and you don't have opportunity, you're oppressed or, you know, all the things that people have to deal with. It's like, okay, do I want another 100 years of this? Probably not. I'm good. So it's a very interesting question. Now, I just want to wrap up here with some really practical tips. And what I want to ask from you is you mentioned I just love this. It's so simple. In the upfront of the book, you say the best way to extend life is to not die early, which is, I mean, that feels, I mean, it's such an obvious point, but it's a great point. And so number one, I want us to tell just like three simple things that all of us can do to not die. And then the other thing is, what is one thing that we all think we should be doing that we actually, that's completely urban legend that we don't need to do?
Okay, so I'll start with the last question. So I think the biggest mistake is we've done so far, we delegated all our health decisions to other parties. Like it's big food, it's big pharma, it's regulators, it's healthcare system who just, and we pretend it's, you know, our health going to be sorted out by them. So I think it's time to take responsibility for our own health. And I can tell you as someone who was working on my health for the last 7 or 8 years, this is the biggest and most interesting way of discover ourselves and like how the world runs. So that's amazing. So it's time to take responsibility for our own health. Then what we should do, it's not three things, it's five things, but five things that we can do right now. One, do your annual checkup. This is very important. You'll decrease the chances of early death by 5 to 10 times. Just your most important day every year is not the date of your birth, but date of your annual checkup. So that's one. Second, don't do stupid things like don't smoke. This is minus 10 years from your life. I'm talking about tobacco smoking. Don't take unnecessary risks. Number three is about diet. It should be as plant-based as possible. You need to decrease the calories that you take in by 15 to 25%. It's almost guaranteed you're going to be extending your health span and lifespan by another 3 to 5 years. Obviously, you take away, you know, all the sugar drinks. It's water, it's herbal tea, it's coffee, and a glass of wine once a week or so. Number four is about physical activity. You don't need to run a marathon. Just take your wearable, which will actually become your personalized healthcare device in literally a couple of years from now, and measure 10,000 steps a day. And number five is about peace of mind. It's about mental health. It's about meditating, sleeping well. My rule is 8 hours in the bed, 7 hours of sleep, and sharing the best of you with the world. Because people with sense of purpose tend to live longer, healthier, and happier lives.
So you don't have to run that marathon. And I did one. That was enough. Now, what I'll tell you is I just had lunch. I had lunch with Sergey in New York. It was awesome, by the way. This is a man who all of us need to learn more about. And we ordered cheeseburgers and we each had 5 beers. And no, I'm kidding. We had steamed vegetables and they were delicious. And I was on my best behavior with you because I'm like, I can't eat like junk food in front of this guy.
Yeah. You should not. No, you can have like a cheat day every month or every couple of weeks. But obviously, well, I mean, we were pretty.
It was delicious. I didn't need the cheeseburger because good vegetables taste better than cheeseburgers if you do it the right way.
I'm always talking about like a rainbow of vegetables, different colors, different taste, and it's you'll rediscover the world of food.
All right, the website is sergeyyoung.com. That's SERGAY young.com. You can find Sergey on LinkedIn at Sergey Young and on Facebook and Instagram at Sergey Young 200. And the name of the book is The Science and Technology of Growing Young. Sergey Young, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
FOMO.
Big news. We now have a brand new website. So head over to FOMOSapiens.com where you can listen to past episodes, learn more about the show, and find out how to advertise. Also, head over to Spotify where you can find and follow playlists of the best of the show. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you, so don't be shy. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com. FOMO.